Let us pray. Gracious God, you called our name from the time we were in our mother's womb. May you open our hearts that we might continue to hear your voice calling us, and give us the grace and strength that we might respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I have related to some of you the story years ago when I was in my corporate life at Motorola, and we were at a stage in our country when the first Gulf War broke out. And when that happened, I happened to be engaged in a project with my counterparts in Israel, who were, of course, experiencing the war more close up than we. And we would have these daily conference calls going on, and it would not be uncommon that in the middle of the conference call, my marketing counterpart in Israel would say, "Marty, we have to hang up. The sirens are going off. We have to put on our gas masks and go into the protected area." And this happened with such regularity that he would start saying this almost matter-of-factly. It was just a real bizarre situation. But in the course of all that, they knew my background in the church, and they always tried to find a way of bringing that into the conversation. And in the midst of this, they got a chuckle out of sharing with me the fact that their local rabbis were having an argument as to whether or not it was okay for them to turn their radios on the Sabbath day. And one of the rabbis came up and said, "Well, it's okay to turn it on, but you can't use your fingers, you have to use your elbow." The marketing manager said, well, his local rabbi told him that the answer was, "Well, you can have your radio on, but you had to have it on softly." It just seems so crazy and ridiculous. And yet, here we have in the gospel today, Jesus encountering the same kind of craziness. To get in touch with what's going on here, I want to play a little let's pretend with you today. And maybe not pretend, but think back on your past and maybe your present when you have decided you wanted to try to do something. Maybe it's dating a girl. Maybe it's taking up a new hobby. Maybe it's acquiring a new skill. But think about that, whatever comes to your mind, and you tried it. And you failed. It didn't work. Now, if you're like me, you have to pout for a few days. And you might, if it's a skill, put the instruments for the hobby on the shelf. Or if it's a girl you want to call, you say nasty things about her for a few days before you try it again. And then you try it a second time. And you fail again. Maybe after time passes, if you're persistent, you give it a third try. And you fail again. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but if I have put out a lot of time and energy into something or someone, there isn't much beyond the three, I'm going to give it a try. Maybe you go up to 10. But could you ever imagine a time in your life when you were trying to learn or acquire a skill or develop a relationship that you would try 932 times? Hard to imagine, isn't it? That's what this woman did. We are told that she had this affliction for over 18 years. She shows up on the Sabbath at the temple every Sabbath. Do the math. 18 years times 52 Sabbaths a year, 932 times. She had come with this debilitating disease, and no one gave her the time of day. It breaks your heart. It broke Jesus' heart. And to think of the type of disease that we have, we know this from our own experience of people who get that horrible curvature of the spine. And she had it so severely, she could not even look up. Condemned to an existence staring at the ground. And that metaphorical idea of shoulders slumped and looking down becomes the reality of her life. 18 years. In that day and age, half of her life expectancy. Pretty amazing. Now you think about what happens with Jesus. And we can just read these miracle stories and say, oh yeah, Jesus did it again. Think of the magnitude of the instantaneous nature of this cure. Luke says, Jesus looked at her, called her over, said, you're healed, and bingo, she stands upright and she is healed after 18 years. It's amazing. Now, the amazingness of this is also captured from the perspective of what Jesus is doing by a theologian by the name of Walter Wink when he comments on this story. And he says, in the course of about three verses of Scripture, Jesus breaks six major laws of the Jewish religion. Number one, he talks to a woman. Men, especially rabbis, weren't supposed to do that. Remember in John's Gospel, chapter 4, when he talks to the woman at the well, John tells us they were astonished that Jesus was talking to this woman. Number two, he brings the woman into the center of the synagogue. Now, my friends, they weren't Episcopalians in those days. They didn't exactly welcome women. And Jesus brings her into the center of the synagogue. Three, he touches her. How often in Luke's gospel is Jesus touching and being touched, especially people who are ill? Violating the holiness code. It would have driven the scribes and Pharisees crazy because now Jesus is making himself unclean by touching. Number four, he calls her a daughter of Abraham. The scripture scholars say that there is no instance in all of Jewish literature before this that the phrase daughter of Abraham is used. It's revolutionary because it was believed that women were saved through their men. And guys, let's face it, we know it's the other way around. To call her a daughter of Abraham is to make her a full-fledged member of the nation of Israel with equal standing before God. Number five, and this is the one that the scribes and Pharisees yell at him for today. He heals on the Sabbath day. The nerve. 18 years, 932 tries to get some attention. And they have the audacity to say, you can't do that, Jesus. It's the Sabbath. Number six, and this is probably the most important. Jesus challenges the ancient belief that her illness was caused by something that she was guilty of. That Jesus asserts that she is ill not because God willed it, but because there is evil in the world. As Rabbi Kushner would say in that old famous book, bad things just happen to good people. Six major topsy-turvy laws that Jesus in an instant says, it's all out the window, guys. Now, we got to take this story and see for ourselves, what is Jesus trying to tell us? Well, I think he's trying to tell us this. There are ways in which all of us are bent over. Either it's a load that we're carrying on our back, either it is the way our life or the way people have treated us have made us look down and not look up. And we've carried it a long, long time. And whether it's for 18 minutes or 18 years, Jesus is saying to us, today is the day I am calling your name, and just let it go. In a clergy's life of counseling, we hear so many stories of people who are just kept down by the fact that something happened to them years and years ago that they've never let go. Sometimes it comes in the form of addictions that we hang on to that we think, I can never get over that. I'll be addicted to alcohol, to porn, to drugs, to prescriptions, to whatever it is for the rest of my life. I just got to deal with it. No. Jesus is saying today, I want to look you in the eye and tell you, you're more than that. All bets are off. All those crazy laws that you've been trying to live by, those are out the window today. You don't have to do it that way anymore. This is an incredible gospel, an incredible gift. I ran across a video clip that tells a great story of someone who has been able to do that in their own ministry. It tells the story of a relational therapist. Her name is Naomi File. And she reaches out to those who have been bent in half, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, by the way that she reaches out with the idea that there's always, always a possibility of healing in some way. Look at the way that she is able to incarnate this gospel and call out this person's name. Let's watch the clip.
When people are very old and deteriorated and no one enters their world and they're just sitting there, they will withdraw inward more and more. And their desperate need for connection is all now inside. And if a person is all alone, even if they're very, very deteriorated, there's a longing for this kind of closeness. Mrs. Wilson, hello. You want me to sit? Can you see me good? Gladys Wilson is a wonderful example of a person who is in the phase of repetitive motion, where people use movements, repetitive movements, because they don't have any more speech or very little speech, but they have human needs that need to be expressed.
You're crying. You're crying. You have a tear right here in your face. You have a little pain. You want me to touch you. You're very sad. Can you see me? Is it scary? Are you afraid?
And if this person sits with their eyes closed, rocking back and forth, and maybe there's a tear coming down, there's a need there.
Here. There's a little tear that's coming out. You feel it? You feel a little tear?
If you gently use touch, and I touched Gladys Wilson for the fingertips right here on the cheek, is where the mother usually touched a child. If you touch an infant there, it looks up, and every cell remembers where it was touched by the mother. And often that person knows, even if they can't say a word at that moment, they won't talk, but or they don't want to talk, but there's a communication. And that person is no longer alone.
Can you let me in a little bit? You think? Just a little? You think I could be with you and Jesus for a minute? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
I used music, because when speech is gone, music, especially with Gladys Wilson, it was religious music, because there's emotion tied to it and safety tied to it. So I used her old church songs.
Jesus loves me, yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
What I did was, when she moved, I moved with her. And when I was singing, because she didn't sing with me, so I matched the intensity of my voice to the intensity of her movement. And pretty soon, for a split second, we became one person.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
So at one point, when she got very quiet and very peaceful, and my voice became very quiet as hers and very peaceful, and my breathing slowed to her breathing, she pulled me to her, and I moved with her. And for her at that moment, I believe I was a symbol of her mom.
Can you open your eyes now? Do you see me? Feel safe and warm? Yes? Can you sing with me? He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the mothers and the fathers. He's got the mothers and the fathers
in his hands.
He's got the mothers and the fathers
in his hands.
The breakthrough doesn't happen every time. The person will not always open their eyes and look at you. But if you keep trying and you keep centering yourself and really look at that person and really mirror their movements, maybe not this time, but the next time you come, you'll have a communication.
Feel safe?
Yeah.
With Jesus?
Yeah.
And me?
As miraculous as that is, human to human, it is our God who desires to reach out to us in an even more powerful way. Don't look down. Look up.